Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. It is Saturday, the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, get fired up. It is Oregon, Nebraska in a mere few hours. We'll get you ready for it. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, co-hosting today. Mark Kranak, right now it is 5:07 Pacific Standard Time. Kranak right now, I don't know if he's already tailgating, if he is still tailgating. I don't know what his story is. He checked in with us yesterday as he is on the scene in Eugene. So he is on assignment, as we like to say. So we don't have his hotel number, or we would absolutely just do that dirty phone call at 5 a.m. We do have his cell, but he may put his hands on me next week if I were to do that. We are loaded up. Colton, good to see you. You got your Nebraska gear on. You've got your chai latte going. Is that an iced?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I had to change it up.
Okay.
Try something different.
There we go.
It's the fall season.
There you go. You brought your latte in. Colton's ready to go, and I've got my black coffee that is trying to put hair on my chest. We are busy today. The rewind this first hour on Hail Varsity Radio. Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, caught up with us this week. He will give us some advantages Nebraska has today, kicking off against Oregon. We get caught up with Coach DiNardo on that. His thoughts on the Diaco D heading forward. In hour two, Brandon Vogel. Vogues is a busy dude. Not only is he in Oregon, but he has a book interview now, if we want to get down to it, with somebody out or across the country. So Vogues is up and bumping around. So Brandon Vogel with us in 1 hour of HailVarsity.com and magazine. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, anxious, interested to get Gary's thoughts on this game for Nebraska, Oregon. And then, time permitting, our rewind for the hour two will be Nebraska quarterback Tanner Lee. We had a chance to sit down with him this week. His thoughts on Oregon, his thoughts on the contest against the Red Wolves from Arkansas State, and we'll get that rocking. Numbers to get in this morning can tap the line, Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll free 800-825-5865, and welcome to check us out on Twitter at Hail Varsity at Schmidt _ radio, and can email us, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Those are the ways to get in touch with us. So you've had a week to stew, and the predictions have been coming in, and they're kind of varied across HailVarsity.com. Some feeling Nebraska can go get this, can get it done in a field goal manner, a touchdown manner. I've even seen 10 points out there that Nebraska can win this thing. Nationally, a lot of it is on Oregon. The line back down to 13 for your friends in the desert. And some question marks, Colton, about today when it comes to personnel Nebraska may have. We'll kind of get into what type of defense you'll see, the plan to be executed for Bob Diaco and this Husker Blackshirt defense. But I want to get into what could unfold today at 3:30 at Autzen Stadium. You've done the research. Autzen holds how many?
54,000 should be the capacity, unless they don't include the standing room or how many they try to cram in there, but about 54.
Okay, 54-ish, I would say. This thing's going to be big enough that you'll be well over that. And we did the math from, you know, the Mark Kranak School of Estimation. And this is just Portland he was talking about, bumping into one out of every 10 people he saw wearing red. There was social media insight given to the number of folks going from Seattle to Eugene today. So you could, honestly, the early estimates were 15,000 Nebraska fans, 15,000 Nebraska fans in that 54,000 seat bandbox. Well, jump that up about 10. You could have half, you may have half the stadium in red, ready to make this a home road game, or offset it anyway for Nebraska. If they can get 12th man to travel, like it sounds like they have, that is a major, major thing for Nebraska. You know, the folks that have spent their money for airfare, for hotel, for tickets, they can't put eye black on or the mouthpiece in. But their voices can be heard. And, you know, you look at this setup here and just how daunting Oregon's home field advantage has been. It's dwindled a bit, 28-7 at home the last 5 years since 2012. Well, five of those seven losses have come the last 2 years. And you'll take any advantage you get. You need advantage in special teams. You need advantage in the run game. You obviously need advantage at quarterback. But if you can get a little extra push from that that traveling red section, it serves well, and it won't be a reason to win, but it can't hurt.
Well, and I think the big deal there is if you're going to fill half a stadium that only holds 54,000, your voice is equally as, you know, equally as loud as the person next to you wearing green, wearing that neon yellow that's kind of gross. But
I made a mistake of buying a North Face pullover that color, but keep going.
That's a huge deal. I mean, for Husker fans to travel out to Oregon to spend all the money just to go out there to watch Nebraska potentially beat Oregon at their place. I mean, the reason it's so hard to play at Autzen is because it's a smaller stadium. The smaller you can control that sound and pack that sound in there, it's a big deal. So if half the stadium's red, that atmosphere is going to change in a hurry. So if Nebraska can get momentum and can get the fans behind them, it may be all but over early.
Well, if Nebraska needs a little push, say it is Oregon out of the gates, I mean, you're going to see it, man. You're going to see that duck riding a Harley out of the gates, leading the team onto the field at Autzen. Great. But if you need a little boost, a little push, a little energy infusion, the Nebraska fans will be there for Nebraska. Mike Riley, Bob Diaco, Danny Langsdorf, Coach Kavanaugh, Coach Dante, his corners, man. Those are a lot of questions, but at least you have some friends traveling with you to try and offset this hostile environment. We'll see how it shakes out. I want to get into some of the young pups that likely will see time. Coach Riley spent some time talking about it Thursday with how careful they're going to be. Guy Thomas, Nebraska needs to keep looking at that outside linebacker spot, at that cat position. Guy is a freak athlete. Guy's just a freshman. Brandon Hymus is a Lake Travis kid that has shown well, and they are considering redshirting, but will they need him today? Matt Farniak is a redshirt freshman. Farniak likely will get the call at right tackle today for Nebraska because Neville has been in that walking boot. So you have some really young guys just mentioning there. One guy could get his first start today at that tackle spot in Farniak. Will you see some other use by Hymus? And will you see some other use with Guy Thomas? Two guys that you've already seen that have done well and performed well beyond their years. Tyjon Lindsey and D-Train Deontre Thomas inside at that nose guard spot. It's going to be just super vital for Nebraska with this run game to try and stymie what Oregon wants to do. In a lot of ways, both these teams are very, very, very similar in the fact that they want to just crush you off of play action, but the goal is to set up the run game. The goal is to set up some power football. Oregon's offensive line, listen, man, those guys are all back. They're all starters. They were embarrassed. They're much better this year. They remember last year, and I know offensively it wasn't an issue with them running the football last year, but in the big games, that Oregon offensive line, we talk as much as we do about the Nebraska offensive line, that Oregon offensive line has a chip on their shoulder. They have something to prove, and they have an opportunity against this Nebraska defensive line. Hey, you have Mick and the gang. They aren't having that. They want to shut the Oregon run game down, but it'll be interesting to see if in week two. A guy like DeAndre Thomas played a lot of snaps, had some big impact last week against Arkansas State. That was a new, fresh offensive line for Arkansas State. How's a guy like DeAndre Thomas handle a step up in competition, a step up in talent level, and a step up in venue this afternoon? Tyjon Lindsey is a guy that you'll see playing the DeMornay Pearson L spot if DeMornay cannot go. Lindsey is a guy that they got in. He had three touches and is a guy that I think can electrify this offense. Any concern about some of these young guys? Is Nebraska hit the nail on the head, not only in finding young talent and developing that young talent, but you also know, Colton, it's a mental part here. Can you step in and handle A, adversity, and then B, handle the transition of a step up in competition so early in your career? Those will be some key things.
Well, I think the one youth spot to look at is that Farniok spot. I mean, he's a freak. He's 6'6", 315. That's what he's listed as, at least. But to get your first start at Autzen Stadium is kind of a daunting task, but I think he could live
up to
it.
Says a lot about him to get that opportunity.
Right, and if they didn't think he could do it, they would find a way to get Neville to play the game and get him out of the boot. So if Riley and
they still
Kavanaugh,
may.
Right, and they, but if Riley and Kavanaugh weren't
comfortable,
fully supporting Farniak, they wouldn't do it. I think DeAndre Thomas is a great compliment to Mick. They're obviously similar play styles, but different builds. Mm-hmm. Mick is also another freak athlete. What, 6'5", 315? And DeAndre's
his goatee's 315.
Right. And DeAndre's a little smaller than that. But I think those two, if they can plug up the holes next to the guards in the center, they could really shut down Oregon's run offense. If they can do that, that's a huge deal, because then Oregon has to rely on the pass, which
they could do, but they prefer to be
right and
sting you with it.
And they would also have to, then you start relying on the corners and once again for Nebraska, which may or may not be an issue. It's hard to say at this point. And another guy I have a lot of faith in would be Tyjon Lindsey. Mm-hmm. I think
he's kind of built for these moments. I mean, you look at the high profile programs he's been a part of, mm-hmm. and thrived at, and the world recruits him. And you know, in today's day and age of college football, you go get skill guys, but you go get young skill guys. I mean, it's okay to take a little time and season and then get out there. But more and more, I mean, let's just kind of take a look at the game on Monday night. You had Georgia Tech and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You had a freshman take over the ball game at wide receiver for Tennessee. They threw some jump balls to him. Tyjon, obviously a different body type, but Tyjon could execute the DeMornay Pearson L role very, very well. That's still a big ask and still a big gamble just because of his youth. He's got the talent to do it, but can you do it on this stage?
I think he can. I definitely think that his skill set and his build is very similar to Pearson L. I think that's kind of what Nebraska saw in him too. That's, you know, you're going to get him on jet sweeps. You're going to get him on, short, quick slants. You're going to get him the ball and give him a chance to get up the field. You just want to get him blocking. And if he can get out in, wide open green area, he's going to take to the house. He's just that fast.
He's just got that
speed. Right.
Absolutely.
The issue is getting him out into that open space. So if Nebraska can do that, that obviously will help his skill set thrive.
You know, let's talk about the impact of this game and what's it mean. Well, the Big Ten has some love going on. Purdue got Ohio and the Fighting Soliches last night, but Purdue's made some noise. Rutgers has looked better. You have Ohio State on tap tonight against Oklahoma. You have Nebraska now, Oregon, and nationally, this game's people are probably going to check it out. It's a great showcase opportunity for Nebraska. All that said, it isn't one of those main primetime games. Notre Dame, Georgia tonight. I mean, there are other games from a top of mind awareness standpoint that are getting more buzz this weekend. But that said, this is a statement opportunity for Nebraska. It's also a statement opportunity for the Willie Taggart era and this Oregon team and this Oregon fan base. They want to kind of get back to what they were. Now, it didn't come quickly. When it did happen, they had a pretty good 7 to 9 year window of very, very high success, two championship game appearances. Can't sneeze at that. They'd love to get back there. And you know what? This can be a moment to put Duck fans at ease if you're Taggart. Not that he's thinking about them, he's thinking about his team. But that persona, you can kind of recreate that persona. And what you have out here for Nebraska here is a guy in Mike Riley that is universally respected. There aren't many folks that you'll find that can do what he's done offensively, defensively, NFL, college. He is worth every penny Nebraska's paying him, and he's worth 17 times that just based on football knowledge. He's made the moves to assemble a staff, to be aggressive recruiting, and to try and win and bring Nebraska back to prominence. Does a win over Oregon do that? No. But it starts the process of getting that direction on that right foot, so to speak. And these opportunities come up quite often. I mean, you still have to go make your hay. You still have to beat Wisconsin. You still have to beat Iowa. You still have to win the West. You still have to show better and eventually beat the East and then get to a Big Ten championship. That's the big picture. But a step towards that big picture, a step towards being able to do that and kind of finding your niche in the Big Ten is winning a road game like this. And it's not insurmountable. It's a game that, you know what, Nebraska has athletes, has talent, and quite frankly, probably has the quarterback advantage. I know Herbert's been a starter for part of last year and got off to a good start this year, but you look at what Tanner Lee possesses, you look at what Tanner Lee can do in this offense, and you have to say, okay, if we're just going down the pros and cons list between Nebraska and Oregon, what are the pros, what are the cons? Well, there's a lot of washes. There's a lot of gray area because both teams are in transitional situations defensively. Oregon in a transitional situation with the head coach. And now Nebraska's got a little bit more familiarity, a little more stability in year three with Riley, in a third year of this offense, and you have that fit with quarterback. Well, your quarterback is going to be able to make some of these plays for you, get you out of some plays, keep moving the chains, and above all, this personality we've talked about for a lot of weeks will be so important for Tanner Lee to remain calm, to keep being that leader, to be able to, you know, to be that guy that says, we're going to go get this touchdown. We're going to go get this third down conversion. We're going to go do X, Y, and Z. He is a guy that will make it happen and make or break it for Nebraska. And that's a good thing to have advantage-wise for Nebraska going into this. And right now, Lee is relished, has wanted this stage, wanted this opportunity. And that's one area Nebraska, I think, has an advantage and can do well. Let's talk real quick here before we take a break and get to Jerry DiNardo with the rewind here this first hour on Hail Varsity Radio. The run game is so, so important to Oregon. It's equally important, Colton, to Nebraska. And how Trey Bryant got going, how the offensive line was able to perform. Mike Riley, if he could have highlighted and italicized, he would have while speaking, but he couldn't. Balance. It's going to be so critical for Nebraska today. That means running the football. That means getting some stinging plays off of play action. But I wonder here, from an offensive game plan, does Nebraska come out and try and do some short throws? Because Jim Leavitt this week said repeatedly that, you know, you got to shut down Nebraska's run game. You got to shut down Nebraska's run game. That's what every defensive coordinator that's awesome says. But he means it, and he'll do most means necessary to do so. So if you're Nebraska here and you're Langsdorf and what you've installed this week, do you come out maybe throwing to set up the run to achieve that balance, knowing that Oregon will likely sell out and be aggressive, because that's what Leavitt's defenses are. They're aggressive to stop your run. Do you kind of come out with the second pitch, so to speak, to try and loosen them up? Are you going to have to throw to be able to run today?
I think they start throwing short passes. I think that's if they're going to try to stop Nebraska's run game, which is going to be huge because obviously the run game leads into the pass game, the play action game. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Langsdorf tries to burn him deep early too. If they get
him, try and seize momentum.
Right. If you can catch him off guard by not running it, you know, the first couple of plays, or maybe you run it once of the first four, and maybe you try to hit someone deep. And if you can make it work and you score, obviously it looks great. If it doesn't work out, you kind of settle back in and run what you normally would. But, yeah, I think they have to throw. I think they're and with Tanner Lee at the helm, you can throw. You don't have to worry about it. You can kind of sit back, relax, and know that if he needs to throw or has to throw, it's going to be a good pass. It's going to go to someone that is open. It's not going to be into double coverage, triple coverage. He'll make smart throws, and if that's what they have to rely on, then that's what they'll have to do.
Madonna Therapy Plus. Let's tell you about the great folks at Madonna. Concussion injury, it's a part of sports. It happens. And how do you get over that? Concussions thought of once upon a time, well, simply getting that bump on the head. However, new research confirms concussions must be identified immediately and managed properly. For a quick and full recovery, Madonna Therapy Plus is where you go. They have athlete experience with sports-related injuries like concussions, and you can trust Madonna Therapy Plus to tackle it head-on. As a leader in concussion rehabilitation, Therapy Plus at Madonna, their experts provide tailored programs to young athletes through every stage of recovery. Through the right treatment, game plan, and most advanced techniques and technology, your young athlete can successfully get back in the classroom and also back out on the field. Three locations in Lincoln and now a location in West Omaha to serve you. Madonna Therapy Plus offers expertise and innovation to help you return to learn and be ready to play. And now you can learn more about Madonna. Log on today, therapyplus.org. Some excellent doctors, caregivers, and insight from Madonna. A couple of their specialists to look at, Morgan LaHolt and Adam Kafka with Madonna Therapy Plus for physical and occupational therapy and, of course, concussion management, identification, treatment. It's all there at Madonna Therapy Plus. A quick timeout as Hail Varsity is off and running this weekend. The weekend edition is here. It is Oregon, Nebraska. BTN's Jerry DiNardo on Oregon, Nebraska. Next, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie on a Tuesday edition. We welcome in with the Big Ten Network, big-time coach at several different programs, and you watch him every week on the Big Ten Network. Jerry DiNardo with us at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, thanks for a few minutes. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks.
Appreciate the time. Okay, a Nebraska ball game Saturday night that went the distance, and we thought it would be one of those games where Arkansas State likely hung around just because they're a good program and Nebraska has so much new and different. Coach, what were you expecting to see from the defense on Saturday night?
Well, I thought the game would take on the personality that you just described. You know, I think we saw that with, you know, Michigan State, Bowling Green. I think a lot of times games like this take on that personality where it's a struggle early and then the better team separates. You know, obviously I didn't expect what happened defensively. I have not studied the tape, and so I'm certainly not an expert on what happened and certainly not an expert on that specific defense of Nebraska. So I really don't know, but obviously that's not what anybody was expecting. And, you know, I'm sure Bob Diaco and Mike Riley are addressing it.
Coach, you've been part of transitions before, either on the offensive or defensive side, and it's not something you can just snap your fingers and have up and running. It's not even a week one to week two. It's going to be an ongoing process most likely here. And what did you take away and what did you like about Nebraska on Saturday night?
Well, the offensive transition seems to have gone smoother than the defensive transition. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, that's where it starts. You know, I think Tana Lee was as advertised. I think that is another plus. The run game looked better than it did last year. You know, defensively, I think is where most of us are looking for improvement. You know, nowadays, you know, you're not scrimmaging a lot. You know, you just, you know, it's getting through that first game with a win, as ugly as it is, Chris, and then, you know, no mistake, no learning. So I would suggest to you that that defense will grow more this week than it's grown since Bob Diaco's been there, because until it's live and game situations, you can't coach every situation. It just doesn't come up in practice, especially as little as we're scrimmaging these days.
Well, you can't. You just can't simulate. It's hard to do.
Correct.
You know, and Diaco is adamant about the youth, first of all. Second of all, the youth and the experience level, game experience, and that's, I think he's right with that. And they were, for lack of a better term, conservative with what they asked the defense to do, specifically the corners, because they didn't want to allow big plays, and Arkansas State, tendency-wise, like to go deep because they got some big-bodied wideouts. Why give up a 50-yard big play and opposed to making them go 12 plays 80 yards, 12 plays 70 yards and get in the end zone? And then, you know, from a red zone standpoint, back to situational football, Nebraska did a good job of keeping them out of the end zone or allowing 3 points with the red zone trips. Now, getting off the field on third down was an issue, and there was really no pass rush, also something that we've spent time talking about, because Nebraska didn't get after the quarterback, but it was hard to get after the quarterback, Coach, because of how quickly the ball got out of that guy's hands with the type of offense they're running. I don't know what you do defensively against something like that when it comes to tempo and pace with an offense. There's not a lot of answers.
Right, there's not a lot of answers. I mean, one answer is don't give up the big play, and as the field shrinks and they get into the red zone holding the field goals. Mm-hmm. But again, I think there's two things that come to my mind. Mike Riley, when I asked him at Media Days about how difficult a transition this would be, both offensively and defensively, he answered the question this way. Obviously, I'm not making these moves to set the program back,
right?
Okay? So that's a way of saying, yes, it is going to take some time. And these are significant changes. And nobody can convince me. I can't tell you what went wrong against Arkansas State. I've not studied the coach's tape. I watched two games today. Neither one of them were Nebraska. I'm watching Nebraska in the green room, and there's a Michigan game going on, and who else was playing at night. And you know, sometimes there's seven TVs going on at one time, and any analyst that says he knows what the heck he's talking about those seven games is full of it, okay? So I haven't studied Nebraska tape, but here's what I know. Here's what I do know for sure. That what they're doing offensively and what they're doing defensively is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better than what they were doing offensively and defensively in Mike Riley's first year. I am totally convinced of that. Could they lose a game that maybe if they didn't change, they would have won? Yeah, maybe. That's growth. I mean, we don't know where this thing's going to go. But they are in better shape long-term right now than they were when Mike Riley first got there. That I'm convinced of.
Jerry DiNardo, a few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, what was your policy when it comes to assistants speaking to the media? There was a miscommunication that was taken the wrong way by some, and that was explained yesterday with Diaco talking to the media. I'm over it. I wanted your take on it, though, because you've managed programs. Coach Diaco feels better about a one-voice setup. Both coordinators will speak from here on out. But how did you handle it? Did you want your coordinators talking, or did you want to be the sole voice?
Yeah, no, you know, Chris, I have to call, and I watched Bob's press conference about his non-press conference today.
Right.
So I know exactly what you're talking about, and I text you to ask you some background because I hadn't heard it. I think I did that yesterday or the day before. But I don't know that I can relate to this, because here's what my policy was. I had open practices. The media could talk to any coach anytime and any player anytime. I think the only times I didn't want to be bothered with the media was Friday before the game.
Right.
Okay, because the schedule was tough, and I think we had talked enough about it and all that. So I was totally open. I didn't believe in the one voice, and I didn't believe in these players are available today and this coach is available. I think that's insanity, okay? Now, I preface this by saying I'm probably out of touch, right? I'm the old guy, right? But to me, one of the things I sold to my team during camp is, listen, you're going to learn a lot of things about English and math, but one thing, if you're smart, you'll take advantage of being asked a tough question by someone in the media and trying to figure it out. And then we did media training. Like, you don't have to answer it right away. They never replay the question. So even if you don't like the question, answer something. I mean, we tried to teach something that couldn't be taught to our student athletes on campus, just like in the classroom. Just like in the classroom, they could teach things we couldn't teach. And then the coaches, the one voice. I'm going to tell you what: if someone contradicts me or another coach, the head coach is doing a bad job of communicating our program. It's like you have to protect what a 50-year-old guy making $1.2 million is going to say about your program. Really? One voice? Why? Because the other voices are wrong, or we're not smart enough to be on the same page, or I haven't taught a good enough culture. So I'm way out of touch with this craziness, the way people are shielding both players and coaches from the media. I think it's absurd. Mm.
Jared Donato is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, Oregon waits for Nebraska. Things look or maybe should clear up, depending on Mother Nature and the air quality, but say things go as planned. What are you thinking about this matchup for Nebraska? Vegas, as this line has jumped majorly, it's a reaction to what happened Saturday night, both on Oregon and Nebraska's end. Where does Nebraska, if at all, have an advantage? And where do you think are some areas that could make it dicey when you look at this contest?
Yeah, great question. I think they have an advantage because as much as the coaches at Oregon are going to tell the kids they're better than they looked against Arkansas State, the kids always believe in what they see and not what they hear because they grow up watching video games, okay? So I think an advantage for the Nebraska defense is that the Oregon offensive players are going to underestimate them. I say Nebraska makes a bunch of progress on defense. I don't know if they can shut them out or win the game and all that. All I know is the defense that we saw against Arkansas State is not the one that's going to go to Oregon. And on offense, their advantage is that Oregon's constantly practicing against the spread and that kind of stuff. And one of the advantages about making this turn that Mike has made with the pro-style offense is what happened to Florida against Michigan. Okay, it's hard for Florida to defend the Michigan offense because of how physical it is and how different it is. And that's the advantage Nebraska offense has, is that if they can contain Oregon's offense and Nebraska can continue to run downhill from the pro formation and different pro sets, I think that's their advantage offensively.
Time of possession and then the pounding for four quarters?
Yes, and the fact that Mike's been up there, you know, and he knows what it's like there, and he can share that with his team. He's got experience in that stadium. I think that's also probably something that not a lot of people have the experience that Mike has. But, yeah, pounding the ball, time of possession, defense, don't give up the big play. Let the field shrink on them when they don't have to defend the deep pass.
Last thought here, about 30 seconds, Coach. Taggart and Diaco go way back, and what I mean by that is they – that played each other the previous 3 years. I think that's big for Nebraska, don't you?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. But, you know, a lot of times, Chris, you really study the coordinators more. So if Taggart was calling the plays then, or if he has the play caller with him that he had when Bob went against him, then that is valuable. But let's say he wasn't calling the plays and he's not calling them now and he has a different coordinator. Or, you know, there's all kinds of combinations. So I'd have to study if Taggart called the plays, who his play caller was, and it is the same play caller now.
Jared Donato, Big Ten Network coach. Awesome to catch up. Thanks for your insight. Always love spending a few minutes with you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Take care. There he is, Jared Donato with his Hail Varsity Radio. At Jared Donato on Twitter. Good to hear from the coach. Thoughts on a ton of things, and there you go. Maybe an angle that you didn't think about. Well, versus the doom and gloom, oh my God, what's going to happen Saturday? Nebraska has some advantage. in this matchup Saturday, in its pro style. It's knowing Oregon. It's Diaco, familiar with the offense that Taggart likes to run. And it's, yeah, how much respect is the black shirt D getting? How much do they deserve? That's another discussion. But if you're an Oregon offensive guy, you're probably laughing at these guys. And you'll want to do better if you're a Nebraska player, obviously. Can't do much better than Sauter Heyman. Tell you what, Pure Grown Diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer. 100% real diamonds grown in the lab instead of mined from the earth. They're eco-friendly. They're beautiful. They're top sellers. They're 10 to 40% less than earth mined diamonds. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion Lincoln, around West and Grand Island. Go see Rick and Sauter Heyman today.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Quick hour as we're getting you ready for Oregon, Nebraska, Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Ethan producing. Big thanks to him. And that was Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, our rewind segment from earlier this week. Brandon Vogel, we are going to try and run down next hour. Vogues is kind of doing a bit of a book tour out west, and why not? Vogues will try and jump on with this a little bit after 8, time permitting for him. And we appreciate him being thoughtful of us and trying to make time for that. Gary Sharp is coming up around 8:30. Our rewind will conclude the show in hour two with our discussion and interview with Tanner Lee, Nebraska quarterback, making a road start that is just pretty monumental. A really big opportunity for Nebraska. And when you talk to Nebraska fans, you take the temperature of Nebraska fans, you have this underlying concern. And it is the E word that is kind of consuming and out there. And it's the elephant in the corner that even Marshawn would talk about. That is embarrassment. That is 9 times out of 10. Hey, what do you think happens with the game? If you're just talking about it with friends, family, buddies, maybe you're grabbing a cold one, whatever, the response is, man, I just hope they play well. Or, man, I hope they don't get squashed on TV. That's it. And that's maybe not changed, but the fear of embarrassment is still, you know, it's still floating around out there quite a bit when Nebraska has a chance to play like teams. And you go back a year ago, the concern was, what's Nebraska going to do against this Oregon offense? Is Nebraska going to be able to shut down? And you've seen the last few years, the really, really elite teams just hand it to you. And you've seen some teams that, yeah, they're good, should be a tight or tough ball game. But even those have, it's not been so much. I think back to UCLA when Mora first got there, the home and homes, where Nebraska had leads and didn't extend leads or keep leads, but it turned into, all right, an offense has scored X number of consecutive points on you. There's been no stop defensively. There's been no adjustment. And I don't think the players you hope aren't playing cautiously from a, man, I just hope we don't get embarrassed. I mean, no athlete, no competitor hopefully has that enter their mind. They're just going to go out there and play extremely, extremely hard. But from a fan base's standpoint, there is some concern with where Nebraska's at right now in big games. And that concern is, okay, you're not at the point that you're winning them. You know, great teams do that. Ohio State goes on the road and owns it because they are built up to be a dominant and prominent program. Alabama goes on the road and dismantles you. Nebraska, decades ago, too, would do that. They come into your town, take your money, take your women, take whatever. I mean, they just were that focused and good. So that's to me kind of an underlying little bullet point is you know, are you a Nebraska fan that you know, you're not sure how the game's going to go, but, man, you just hope they don't get embarrassed? Because I have felt that and heard that a lot. And you plug in what happened last Saturday to that conversation, because you're thinking, okay, you don't know a ton about Oregon. You just know they're fast and they're talented. So you put that together. It's, well, it could happen. I don't know that it does happen. I just don't think Nebraska right now is far enough along defensively to pull their own weight. I think the offense can play well and do well and keep Nebraska in it. So I don't think a blowout happens today. If it does, Nebraska fans will be sick again, but all is not lost because you have a lot of season left.
And by no means is this Oregon game Ohio State. It's not Wisconsin. It's not Iowa. Games and teams that have blown Nebraska out in the past, but it being on a national stage, it being that 3:30.
It's a perception thing.
Right, exactly. And I mean, even it'd be the same for Oregon fans. I'm sure they don't want Nebraska to go out and absolutely blow them out either. It just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good when you're playing on Fox at 3:30, and that's a game people are, you know, it might not be their main game of the afternoon, but if it's on, it's on. They're going to watch it. So Nebraska can't get embarrassed in this game. They can't get embarrassed in any game, frankly, and that is a worry. When you face teams that do have a storied program, history, Oregon, obviously not too long. This isn't a Chip Kelly Oregon Ducks either. But
which is even kind of more of a reason to go in it.
Right. And you know, they're talented. It's Oregon. They'll get recruiting, but it's not, you know, you don't have that same offensive mind that Chip Kelly was. They didn't really play defense back then either, but they didn't have to. If your offense is going to put 70 points on the board and 800 yards, you know, it's going to work. So, don't get embarrassed. Go out, play aggressive, run up the score if you can.
Go thump somebody of substance.
And put up points, win, make it definite, and you know, show everyone that last week was last week, and this is now.
Getting the kinks out. Adversity is going to be so key, despite the number of Nebraska fans in the stands, despite how you feel about quarterback. You're going to have some ups and downs, some bumps in this ball game. How do you respond to those? Do you respond offensively with a score, an answer score, a go-ahead score? Do you seize momentum defensively? Can you make a big play? Can you get a turnover? Can you get a stop? Can you hold Oregon to 3 instead of getting 7? How's Nebraska handle that adversity within the football game? Hour 2 is on the way. We will try and run down Brandon Vogel, the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, 30 minutes away, Tanner Lee. Our discussion with Tanner Lee is less than an hour away. It's Hour 2. Colton Stone sitting in, Mark Kranak on assignment in Eugene, Chris Schmidt. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us 2 absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us 2 more. Then 2 more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Into Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Weekend edition, Chris Schmidt. Colton Stone is in. Ethan producing. As Kranak on assignment in Eugene. Brandon Vogel maybe in the next 10 minutes. He is doing a book tour out west in Oregon. Good for him. Dream like a champion. Brandon Vogel, Coach John Cook. Got to get it. Got to read it. So we may or may not get caught up with Vogues. About 20 minutes away from the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Excited to talk to Sharpie, get his thoughts on Nebraska, Oregon. And our conversation with Tanner Lee is about 35 minutes away. Can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House. Okay, the Husker defense. I think you feel okay about the offense. If you don't, call in, tell me why. But defensively, how will this defense perform on this stage? Another week of practice, another week of prep, another week of understanding, and theoretically another week to and kind of get comfortable with what you're asked to do and need to do defensively. How aggressive can you get with Oregon? Don't know. But I know that you'll need to be on your A game if you're Nebraska. Coach Diaco, earlier this week, had a chance to get caught up with the media and address several things, not only the game plan against Arkansas State, but just, you know, some of the fallout from this ball game. And we'll hear cut 10 here in a second, maybe. Do or die situation for Nebraska and how that could serve them here. You look at this defensive setup, and obviously the run game is going to be important to Oregon. It's going to be needed for Oregon's offense. The defensive line is going to have to play a big-time game. The secondary, can they get better? Can they get more comfortable? How quick and agile can the linebackers play? And again, we kind of left off hour one talking adversity for Nebraska. How do they handle those moments? It was a tight situation last Saturday night, but it's something that maybe they can grow from. That's what Coach Diaco said, and here is what he had to say about how things finished up against Arkansas State. Can you use it against Oregon this Saturday if times get tough?
And like you guys had a chance to see, like we've all talked about, probably, you know, like a Garth Brooks song, you know, the unanswered prayers, right? So we probably got the best thing for the team that we absolutely needed. Although you get the feeling that it didn't need to be like that, it probably was exactly what we needed.
You know what? That's a silver lining take, but it's reality. And coaches or teachers, and if things don't go as planned or you don't perform as well as you like, you address that. But you say, okay, well, what can you learn? What can you take out of it?
I think that Arkansas State game really was – that was the learning curve. I think that is your that's your teaching moment for Diaco. Obviously not having game experience with these guys, that's what that game was. And I think you do learn a lot. You learn how the corners are going to react to facing 68 passes, 50 of them being screens. You learn how – your linebackers are going to react to have to go into coverage and then potentially have to plug up holes and, you know, not running blitz packages and such. And you learn if a guy like DeAndre Thomas, who's a freshman, is going to be able to perform as a nose tackle. So I think that game was a huge moment for Diaco to learn what kind of talent he had, and a big deal for Huskers kind of to learn what they have and what they need to do to perform well.
You know, it's really a bonus, man. It's absolutely a bonus for Nebraska to have that situation where it's 2 seconds left on the clock, Arkansas State snapping the ball from your 11. They could tie and go for two and stun you after being down 14 points with 8 to go. You're incensed by it that it got there. Mm-hmm. But the point is how did you bounce back from it? Were you able to survive it? Were you able to learn from it? Were you able to be better for it? And if no's the answer, then you got bigger problems. If yes is the answer, then, hey, it may be the best thing to happen to you. And how do you handle that adversity? So we'll see. We'll take some of your calls here in a moment. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Some of you may be like, you know what? I can take the threat without the stark reality of potentially losing that game. Let's talk stats, because I think stats are something that you've grown up with and you're associated with, and stats equal points for most of the time. Stats equal points, and stats give a certain type of perception with you defensively. Are you a liability? Are you a strength? Are you middle of the road? That's the association you get with stats. I think you have a new outlook, not only from Jim Levitt, because he says you're nuts if you just look at stats. But Diaco kind of outlined that earlier in the week. And I think it's hard to kind of wrap your arms around. I'm not saying he's wrong, but you've grown up associating stats and kind of pinning a performance based on not obviously only score, but how bad were you gashed. And the truth of football right now is most defenses from Clemson to Alabama get gashed. But who's gashing you is the question.
Just so everybody can understand, statistically, it can continue to be a conversation. We don't really talk about statistics. We really don't care. We try to build the plan to keep the points down so at the end of the game, we have one more point than our opponent. That's the defensive objective, to defend the opponent's scoreboard, the scoreboard, and how we need to win the game. So in some instances, discretion is the better part of valor. And what could be seen as trying to stop the opponent ends up working against you when you have a particular opponent in a particular style play.
Who's that sound like? Discretion, the better part of valor. Well, let's talk blueprint and game plan for Oregon. Do you play conservative today, knowing how fast they are, knowing the speed they have, knowing the athletes they can put in space, knowing the quarterback they have, knowing the tight end that can be a mismatch issue for you, and you have a mobile guy in Herbert that isn't going to run first, but he can move around enough in the pocket to make life a living hell for you, even if you do get pressure on him. If you're Oregon, do you try and paper cut the Nebraska defense with bubbles and bubbles and more bubbles to start out? Obviously, it's going to be Freeman and Benoit to 1-2 punch you, and Tony James Brooks as another back. Yeah, that's their game plan, is to run the football on you. But when it comes to the passing game, when it comes to attacking this defense, how would you go about it, and how do you think Nebraska reacts this week? I think Nebraska will play a little bit more aggressive, but their goal is to prevent the big play. Now, the thing with Oregon is a big play can happen off of a 7-yard pass, like a bubble screen, because you get a block out front, you get one of those little shifty dudes, and they're gone with their track speed.
And I think that's the worry for Nebraska, is those screens that turn into a 75-yard touchdown or a 75-yard play from the 7-yard line or something along those lines. I think that is what Oregon's going to do. I don't think they go conservative. I think they stay aggressive most of the game, but I think they change their game plan in the sense that they will throw shorter passes. They will try to get you to bite on those screens, get you to bite on those draws between the guard and the tackle. And then when you think it's going to be short, they're going to go long. So I think what's going to be huge is for Aaron Williams and Kalu not to make – you want them to be aggressive, get downfield, make tackles on those screens, on those runs, but you don't want them to bite so hard that, you know, Oregon starts picking it up and they're just going to go over the top of Kalu or Williams or whoever, you know, may be subbing in and out. But I don't think Oregon goes conservative necessarily, but I do think they try to pinpoint and see if those screens are really Nebraska's weakness.
You know, I'm looking at Nebraska's corners here, and you have a guy in Lee that grew up a lot last Saturday night. I look at Lamar Jackson and his size, man, and how physical he is. I mean, he could be a bit of a thumper today, and maybe they catch one on you, but he jacks him after the catch, and maybe they think twice. That is one thing. We've spent time this season, as early as it is, talking about, you know, Nebraska's reputation. How physical are they? Are they a team that can kind of just go, you know, smash your will? That's the hope, that Nebraska becomes more physical, more physically dominant. They're the ones throwing the punches versus taking the punches. Well, Taggart's reputation, Cristobal's reputation, Levitt's reputation, they are tough, hard-nosed, blue-collar dudes. So eventually, Oregon will take on their personality. Year one, game two, it may be a little soon to, lack of a better term, infect this Oregon locker room and roster, frankly, with the Taggart way. It'll happen. I don't know that it's going to happen week two. So there's that reputation out there for Oregon. They're fast. They are skilled. But is Oregon tough? And I think that's a fair – I think they are tougher because Taggart's been there since January. But are they, if you get into a fist fight, will Oregon be able to trade punches with Nebraska? And while Nebraska isn't a shadow of what they were 20 years ago from a physicality standpoint, I think that that's one area they can go win this football game is by being the tougher, more physical team. And Coach DiNardo kind of alluded to it last hour with the shift you made offensively with this pro style where you're going to line up and just hammer people. You're going to be physical. I think that's an area defensively where Nebraska can be good in that back seven. They can be physical. They can be strong with the Oregon wide receivers. Defensive line, I think they're a bunch of tough dudes. Oregon's offensive line is their strength along with their run game. So they'll be physical. Oregon's offensive line will be. But I think overall Nebraska, when it comes to challenging the pass game, I think the physicality can stand out. The physicality can be something where Nebraska has an advantage if they can, you know, see and catch what they want to hit.
I think when you normally think of Oregon, you don't go, oh, Oregon's a tough team. You think Oregon's fast.
Oregon's skilled.
Oregon's
skilled. Their speed.
They score. They, you know, it's just, you know, it's all those skilled player position. You don't really think about their line or their defensive line or anything like that. You think of their running backs. You think of their receivers. You think of their corners. But, yeah, that definitely is an area where Nebraska could win the battle. If they can win the battle of the trenches, that's huge, because if their offensive line can get going, they can get the run game going, or they can protect Tanner Lee, give him more time than they already have been. If they can keep Tanner Lee off the turf, that's a huge deal too. You don't want Tanner getting hit, you know, at all or very minimally. So I think if offensively and defensively the trenches are big for Nebraska, then they'll be able to push Oregon all around, and hopefully that is the battle they can win. If they can win physicality, that's a huge step in the right direction.
Well, and you know, that's, you think back to another Pac-12 showdown with what Nebraska did to a really skilled and talented and really a lot of NFL dudes on that roster against UCLA in the Foster Farms Bowl. What was the reputation? Well, You can you know, kind of use UCLA as a punching bag, and Nebraska did. That was their game plan. They were skilled and they were talented and they made some big plays, but Nebraska just physically, you know, ground them down to a nub and played smash mouth football that night. You're going to have a similar, I think, kind of game plan and mantra for Nebraska, in my opinion, with Oregon. That could have been some of the talk, some of the points of emphasis this week is the ability to go be physical, be the tougher dude, and, you know, eventually have them tap out. Can you do that with the run game? Can you do that with the linebacking core coming downhill? The thing that I think offsets some of that is certainty in what you're doing, obviously, on defense. It's still just week two of this new defense, but also just the mismatches that Oregon will try and get you in, because there is influence with the Oklahoma State and Baylor offense combined with the power of a pro style in Stanford. You have that, just that marvelous concoction, right, of Stanford power and skill and air raid type tendency and philosophy. I mean, it's all kind of meshed together here for this recipe here. If you're Nebraska, though, can your linebackers stop the run? I think they can. Can your linebackers make plays in coverage for you today? Because that's where Oregon's going to isolate. And we were talking during a break here about just the fact that Nebraska stayed in base as long as they did, or if they did do a four-man line, they had some different looks with their personnel's rushing the passer, if there was time to get to the quarterback even, because half the time it was 2 seconds and out of his hands. I think you'll see Oregon try and do a similar quick passing attack. But with Nebraska, can or will they make an adjustment game plan-wise with who they're asking to cover? Are you going to do more nickel and dime against this Oregon offense and still be able to stop the run? Because I think Oregon obviously will spread you out, try and go 3-4 wide, and then try and run it while you're spread thin. That'll be some interesting chess going on between Diaco and Taggart in this offense. But it's going to come down to points in the red zone. Do you get freebies? And what I mean by freebies, it's those big plays. It's the yards after catch. It's the 10-yard pass that turns into a 40-yard touchdown. Are those going to happen today on the Nebraska defense? Can they minimize those? That's been the preach. That's been the point to talk about Diaco on red zone defense and the importance of it. And can Nebraska be strong in the red zone again today?
There was some red zone, really, really strong red zone work. You know, we had produced an output of 3.3 points per red zone penetration, which is you know, really good. We counted six drives in the red zone that resulted after the points ended up being 3.3. Really good red zone play.
Yeah, it was. And you think about that, that's a little over 20 points they got. It could have been 42 points. So that was good for Nebraska. We are going to get caught up with Gary Sharp. Colton Stone is in. Chris Schmidt, Ethan producing. It's a weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio as Mark Kranak is on assignment in Eugene. We are air quoting when we say on assignment for Mark Kranak. I want to tell you about Wilderness Ridge Golf. You hear Shuey each week here, wildernessridgegolf.com. Get a tee time. You have kickoff at 3:30. It's beautiful outside. That means it's time to go play 9 or 18, feel good, and then go watch football. Membership benefits, membership pricing at Wilderness Ridge you can find out about. And Wilderness Ridge, the lodge, I tell you what, not only is their brunch phenomenal, but it is so pleasant to sit out on the deck and enjoy the fall or the late summer. And they do so many different things. They have gourmet selection. They have an amazing chef. They have tremendous selection. And are you a bourbon guy? You're nodding, I know. Bourbon tasting going on at Wilderness Ridge with Old Forester and Woodford Reserve. If you're a bourbon guy, you need to make your reservations now. They have a bourbon tasting, Wilderness Ridge does, coming up Wednesday, October 25th at 6:30. They're going to feature four select bourbon pours, each paired with hors d'oeuvres. And I tell you what, it's going to be $30. That includes tax. You must purchase tickets online. You can go to Wilderness Ridge for that. But here are the bourbon pours. Old Forester. Old Forester 1920. Uh-huh. Woodford Reserve Double Oaked. And then they have a 30-day barrel-aged Manhattan with Woodford Reserve. You love bourbon? You want a tasting? You want some tastiness with your bourbon? How about Wednesday, October 25th at 6:30 at Wilderness Ridge? WildernessRidge.com, WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Can log on and not only make a reservation, but get signed up, get those tickets online for the bourbon tasting you deserve. It's fall. Sit out on the deck. Have a little bourbon. You'll be a happy guy. Gary Sharp will join us shortly. The Iron Horse next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. You have Derek. It's kind of a Hail Varsity takeover, and that is just going to be fantastic for coverage. You got to be pretty excited, my man, about this game. We've talked about it offseason. We've kind of pointed to it, and there's a lot to rightfully and wrongfully apply to based on last Saturday. Have you been pretty measured, and I know you're pretty smart with this, based with your reaction to last Saturday and then when it comes to breaking down to what can happen today? How have you kind of, kept that separate, or have you?
Well, Schmitty, I think you and I are very similar here, where we're watching the game in person, and you look at each other and you go, man, this is an odd football game. And then I think both you and the majority of people, when they went back and watched it the second time, said, you know what, okay, I understand why Nebraska on defense gave up the amount of yardage that they did. Now, you can't give up the points, but if you break down the game even further, you realize there's about 9 points there that's not on the back of the defense. So there are certain parts of Saturday that you can take away. I think there's other parts that the defense, for what Bob Diaco said, worked exactly like kind of a bend, don't break, be real strong in the red zone, and that's exactly what they did. Now, you shift to this week, you have to make adjustments, because I don't think you're going to play 90% of the game on defense in your base defense like Nebraska did. So there'll be some changes, but I do like to use the word showdown, because I get the sense that there's some that think this is just another game. Well, when you're Nebraska and you're trying to show progress and move forward, this is not just another game. Oregon might not be ranked, but you're a nearly two-touchdown underdog, which is crazy because I think these two teams are very similar, that this is a big game for Nebraska. because the last time, two times Nebraska's been on a national television stage, they've laid an egg, Ohio State and Tennessee. So you have to start showing progress. Is this going to shape the season entirely? No. But I tell you what, if you're 2-0 after the game today, you have a chance to be 5-0, probably ranked when you host Wisconsin. Now, you could be 4-1, but you can't let opportunities slip away. You only get 12 of these in the regular season every year. This is the second one to go out and perform and also get rewarded for progress that you think you're making on the football field if you're Nebraska.
Absolutely. Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, think about the fact of being 2-0 with all of these realities. New quarterback. Likely going to really lean on some young guys, and we'll get to that in a minute today. So you have some youth at key spots, and then a new defense and a transition. If you're 2-0 with all of that going in, that's pretty impressive. You agree?
I agree. And, you know, you're going to have 22 freshmen or sophomores that are on the two deep for this game. So there's going to be moments of up and down. You do like your quarterback and the poise that he has going on the road. But this is a game, I think this is a huge game for Mike Riley. He's going back to Oregon. You saw last year how important that game was to him, Schmitty. His assistants that had been at Oregon State with him, I mean, the way they celebrated behind closed doors, you knew that meant something. I mean, Mike Riley was high-fiving Oregon journalists that he's known for a long time. Well, I think this is another stage where it's also the closure. He gets to go back to a stadium which hasn't been kind to him and bring his football team in there and probably, or at least try and win a football game. And then I think when at 7 o'clock rolls around tonight, you kind of shut the door on the Mike Riley Oregon experience, and he is fully into, he is the University of Nebraska football coach. So that's another little storyline of today's game. But there's a whole bunch of storylines. It does amaze me, though, that Oregon beating Southern Utah, Nebraska winning by a touchdown of Arkansas State, all of a sudden, Oregon is being presented like they're in the national championship playoff hunt. When before the year, we were talking, hey, this is probably a 6-6 team under Willie Taggart. So there's a lot of dynamics moving today. I think it's very important for Nebraska to establish an identity early and let people know that this is going to be a four-quarter game today.
Is that identity going to be the bigger, tougher dude in the bar? I mean, that's how I think Nebraska wants to win, being the more physical team. Do you think they can be more physical than Oregon?
Well, you can establish that by running the football early. I think both teams want to run the ball early. Willie Taggart, throughout his career, has said, hey, we might have a little flash, and there's going to be some swag surfing going on today before kickoffs, but he likes to run the football. So I think both teams will try and run the football early. I think it's important for Nebraska to establish the run, but also that offensive line where the right side was a little bit of a mixed bag, the left side was really good, I thought. But as a fivesome, they were okay on Saturday night. I think it's important to stand up behind them, run the ball, see Trey Bryant probably get 20 to 25 touches. I think Mikhail Wilbon will get nearly double-figure carries today.
No, he'll be a nice option for Nebraska, and that's one thing that I wanted to touch on, the running game. You know, they've been very careful with Bryant, appropriately so, with, you know, keeping an eye on his practice time, and he's performed so far so good in games. But Nebraska had a chance to maybe go to Wilbon or another back, I thought, in the fourth quarter, perhaps, against Arkansas State. Not that Bryant was doing anything bad, but you had Arkansas State that, based on that third quarter, had been on the field for a ton. Do you think Nebraska will be as hesitant to go to another back this time around, this game against Oregon?
I don't think so. I think you will see a heavy dose of Bryant, and then you'll see Wilbon as well. I don't know about Ozigbo. That's kind of a strange wild card what's happened to him from fall camp to the first week and now into week number two where it's very, very quiet on him. Trey Bryant will not carry the ball 31 times. I mean, he carried the ball 31 times, and you can tell towards the fourth quarter he's starting to get a gas. But I think they'll establish with him because we saw he's a rhythm running back. Mm-hmm. So he's got to get into a rhythm, and the more carries he gets, the more comfortable he gets. And I thought from the end of the first quarter on, he started to run like the running back we saw in high school that learned how to take contact, not go down first contact. But I think it'll be a mixture. Also, don't be surprised if you see quite a few wide receiver carries today as well. We got to worry about DeMorne Personnel's shoulder, but Tyjon Lindsey, J.D. Spielman, I think will factor into carrying that football as well, Schmitty.
No, I think you're right on. And those are two young guys that you are excited to get on your roster through the recruitment process, Sharpie. And they are guys that the stage hasn't, you know, it's a small, small sample size, so I don't want to, you know, declare this, but they handled themselves very well and made plays, obviously. And you get guys that talent level for games like this. Let's talk defense. And we know what Oregon wants to do. They'll want to run the football. Their offensive line's veteran. They're pretty talented. But when it comes to perimeter tackling and that space and speed Oregon likes to use, tell me about Nebraska's linebackers. Does Nebraska make some tweaks? Are they going to do more dime, more nickel versus the base that we saw last week? Is that part of the adjustment? And if so, who are some of the actors you'll see this afternoon? And from a linebacker standpoint, who are some of the linebackers you feel good about being able to make those plays in space?
Well, I feel really good about Luke Gifford. There are some veteran linebackers on Saturday night that were not very good. Young and newbie have to play better. Mo Berry is coming on. There's speed in space and tackling that's going to be a work in progress, and it might not be the answer might not be the guys that are currently there, but Nebraska must tackle better in space. The key guy to see what Nebraska is going to do defensively today is Josh Kalu at safety. Do they walk him down into the box, or what do they do with him? Because he'll be a key guy that Oregon will focus on, but I think he's also a key guy to give you a sense of what Bob Diaco thinks he can do defensively against Oregon. The thing with Oregon is, you'll see this, and really this is not just one game for them under Willie Taggart. It happens up there. The ball starts rolling, the big Pringle gets rocking, and all of a sudden Oregon is breaking off big plays because you're missing tackles in the second level, and a 4 or 5 yard run all of a sudden turns into a 15 to 20 yard run. The place is going nuts, and they're putting up big numbers, and all of a sudden you're behind. That can't happen for Nebraska. They got to tackle better in space. And they also have to do a better job. And the quarterbacks have to get off the blocks. Arkansas State had a fabulous game plan. They executed it very well. They also had wide receivers that blocked downfield really, really well. Maybe the best that Nebraska will see all year. So hopefully that's a learning experience, because the cornerback can't continue to be tied up by the wide receivers. But Josh Kalu, watch him early on. Where he's at on the football field will tell you what Nebraska wants to do moving forward. But I think they'll play a lot more packages than going base like they did against Arkansas State.
Sharpie to wrap here, partner, and thanks for a few minutes. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You mentioned how big it is for Coach Riley and the storylines, and he has a chance to kind of, you know, end this chapter in this Oregon experience with a team he feels great about. He's spoken loudly and proudly about this club and their commitment. Bob Diaco, how big a game is it for him with Nebraska fans?
I think it's a big game, but I also think it's a game where he told us what was going to happen on Saturday night. We just didn't want to believe him. I think after what happened last week, I think you'll see he'll design more of their packages. But don't kid yourself. This moving forward is a defense that isn't going to apply a ton of pressure if you look at his history at Notre Dame and UConn. It's a defense that is a bend, don't break, and they are stout in the red zone, and they get off the field. So keep that in mind as yardage piles up today, because as Bo Pelini once said, Schmitty, it's all about points, man.
It is about points. Are you giving or are you taking? How you feel today?
Well, I think this goes down to the fourth quarter. I think it's a late game. It's crazy that Oregon is nearly favored by 2 touchdowns, because these are two very similar football teams. I think it's going to be tough for Nebraska today. I think Oregon ekes it out, but it'll go into the fourth quarter today. And for really kind of where Nebraska is, and to show you that they're moving forward, this has to be a four-quarter game. This game can't be over at halftime when Nebraska is down double figures. Nebraska has to be in it from the start, and I think at some point in the fourth quarter, Drew Brown, who will be an important cog today, whether he's putting points on the board or getting touchbacks, he will have a chance to kick a field goal in the fourth quarter to put Nebraska up, but I think Oregon comes out slightly ahead, 35-31.
Over under 25,000 in red there.
Under, but I think there'll be about 15 to 20,000 there. They've been all over Portland. It's been fantastic. It's Nebraska. They're going to travel.
Gary Sharp with us. Sharpie, be good. Thanks so much for the time. We'll catch up next week, partner.
Hey, thanks, Schmitty.
Take care. There he is, Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse on Hail Varsity Radio. And there are some of your keys and some of your storylines and some of the things to look for from one of our favorites, Gary Sharp. A quick timeout, our conversation, the rewind with Nebraska quarterback Tanner Lee as he gets ready for Oregon next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
To rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Tanner Lee's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Tanner, game one under your belt. How did it feel? What'd you think?
It was extremely exciting. You know, I was happy to get out there and finally get to play in front of our fans and, you know, move on from camp and into the season. You know, it was a great feeling and felt great to get a win. And I'm excited for this week coming up against a good opponent like Oregon and just get into this game prep and, you know, finding out a way to, you know, how we can be successful this week and just really work hard to, you know, go on the road and make something happen.
What's kind of your pregame routine? How do you amp up, calm down, focus? How do you kind of go through the emotions to get prepped to play?
Yeah, I try to keep myself, you know, even, you know, pretty calm. You know, I don't like to let myself get, you know, too excited. But, I mean, when you come out of that tunnel, it's you know, you kind of take a second to really, you know, take it all in and, you know, let your emotions go a little bit and you get excited, get ready to play. But, you know, I think in the locker room and in the hotel before the game, you really have a chance to, you know, focus in and study your plays and study your opponent, you know, kind of go over all the, you know, information you've taken in that week and just kind of lock in and focus on the game. And then once it's time to play, it's just go out there and play ball and do what your coaches have taught you to do. So,
the game plan against Arkansas State, what you guys had kind of pegged to attack them with and go execute, what grade would you give the offense on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't know about a grade, but I think, you know, we were able to consistently move the ball. I think we hurt ourselves with some penalties at times. You know, I think, you know, when it came down to getting it done, I like how, you know, we kind of just did it, got the job done, got the points we needed, and you know, that was good to see. So when it came down to getting the win, we just did what needed to be done.
A few minutes here, Tanner Lee with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. So you had some key throws, obviously, but also the run game. And spend a minute or two, if you could, on the O-line and Bryant, because it was pretty impressive, and it was very, very balanced.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, it was extremely exciting to see, you know, being able to get behind our offensive line and hand the ball to, you know, Trey, McHale, and watch them, you know, run for over 200 yards almost, and where it was 200 and something yards. So that's great. If you can control the game with the run game, it's you know, your chances of winning are a lot higher.
Let's talk Spielman for a second, and not only his return, but also that key moment. Things were a little close in the 3rd and 5. You connected with him on the sideline, and what was the play? And did you think he would be open?
Yeah, you know, that's a look we thought we'd get on a 3rd down. You know, man coverage, a little pressure, and you know, one on one with JD, and you kind of just put it out there and let him use his speed and run under it. It's a throw we've been practicing for a long time, and I'm really glad that we hit it there. You know, I got a lot of trust in JD to go make that play, so that'll be big for us.
Does Stan keep the whole locker room pretty loose? I mean, you were just done doing the podium interview session, and he fired a question off to you, and we got the no comment. Nice work on that. Is his personality pretty awesome?
Yeah, I think it's extremely important to have. You know, he's a great leader in our locker room, especially he's the voice you always hear in there. You know, he's keeping the energy up. You know, we would definitely not be the same without him in there, and you know, especially, you know, on the field, you know, his positive energy and his ability to make plays is something everyone feeds off of, you know, offense and defense. So he's that spark, and you know, it's just the type of guy you really need on your team.
What's he do to crack you up?
Oh, everything. He's never serious. I think he's always trying to crack a joke or make fun of me for something. So it's good. I mean, us growing up in the same area, you know, I think we kind of have a bond in that way. And, you know, we kind of have that chemistry, and we're always, you know, being goofy with each other. And he's always joking around. But, you know, when it comes time for game day, I mean, he's a big time gamer, and he's making plays, and he's going to catch no matter where I put it. So it's good to have him out there.
Thoughts on Oregon? It's one of those games circled by college football fans around the country. It's an afternoon game out west. And your thoughts on Oregon, what do you know about Oregon as you get ready to prep?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the same thing everybody knows about Oregon is, you know, unbelievable team speed, top to bottom. You know, they play in a great atmosphere. You know, they've been in big games, and they're going to be ready to play. They're going to be confident. You know, so I'm just looking forward to getting into this game week and, you know, prepping, you know, harder than ever for them and making sure we're out there ready to play and, you know, putting ourselves in the best position to win.
Couple minutes here, Tanner Lee with us, Hale Varsity Radio. You mentioned kind of that Oregon mystique, and you've seen a lot of college football. And is Oregon one of those kind of it programs? I mean, the last 10, 12 years, they've kind of been on the national radar. What's it going to mean to go out there and play them?
Yeah, I think it's what you want. You want to be able to, you know, go test your team's, you know, against you know, the best of the best, you know, and for us the past 10 or 12 years they have been, you know, this you know, a powerhouse program. You know, they have the flair, and you know, they've been in big games, they've been in national championships, you know, they've had big players, and so it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun, you know, something I'm really looking forward to, and I'm really glad that we have this opportunity.
What is it about their defense that you think could stress you, and what are some areas offensively that, doesn't matter who you're playing, your guys' offense can stress an opposing defense?
Yeah, I think just our ability to, you know, stretch the field with playmakers, sideline to sideline, and, you know, they're going to have to, you know, make everyone cover us, and, you know, hopefully I can be out there making the right decisions and getting the ball into, you know, our playmakers' hands so they can do something with it is, you know, is my goal. And so I think that's tough on anybody. So we're going to have to play well. We're going to have to play our best, and we'll just make sure that we're prepared for that.
What have you heard or read about or even observed maybe on TV from time to time about the environment you're going into?
Yeah, just a great college football atmosphere, you know, a loud stadium. I've seen it on TV a million times. Haven't been there. Looking forward to it. So I'm just extremely excited for that opportunity.
Last thought here, what were some thoughts Coach Langsdorf had for you after the game? And maybe you'll do that as the week goes on, but what was some feedback he gave you, and what were his thoughts?
You know, extremely glad we got the win. You know, I think, you know, he was glad we didn't turn the ball over. We were able to, you know, score when it mattered. You know, I think we wanted to be a little better on third down and, you know, take some pressure off our defense. So we'll focus on that this week and make sure that, you know, when those big downs come, that we're ready to make plays.
Tanner, lastly, this offense, with its versatility, I mean, how stressful can it be against a defense trying to shut you down on third down?
Yeah, I think it's tough, and I think you can ask our defensive guys this fall camp. You know, they having to cover our receivers day in and day out, it had to be tough. And I think, you know, Coach Langsdorf and Coach Riley do a great job of mixing it up. You know, I think they know exactly, you know, what to do with this personnel, and you know, it's extremely exciting. You know, just to kind of see what we're able to do, and you know, how many different ways we're able to attack defenses. So that's going to be it's something that I. You know, it's a lot of fun for guys like me, and just to be able to get them the ball, and, you know, it kind of makes my job easier.
Tanner, thanks for a few minutes, man. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
Hey, that was Tanner Lee. We're about ready to say goodbye. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, it's Hale Varsity Radio. Big thanks to Tanner Lee. A big thanks to Gary Sharp, Jerry DiNardo. So we get you ready for Oregon, Nebraska, and plenty of college football throughout the day here on ESPN FM 101.5, 1480 AM. Reminder to you, if you plan to go out and have a couple tonight, make sure you get home safe and get that plan down for a designated driver. If you get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI. It can cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees in jail time. And that interlock device, that'll be required to be installed in your vehicle. So make plans. Find a sober ride home. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. We are out of here. We will catch up with you on Monday, 4 to 6 with Hail Varsity. You miss any part of it, the podcast, HailVarsity.com. Colton, thanks, brother. Appreciate you. Thanks to Ethan. We'll talk to you next time on Hail Varsity.